So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Priti Vilas Singh Gopi Mataji to enlighten us on Ramayan, Sundarkand, Part 1. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving this nectar to us. So now you can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Thank you for all the services you do. Thanks to everyone who joined on the call. Bend our pranams to everyone on the call. So we are continuing to see Valmiki Ramayana. And so far, in all our previous classes, we have covered up to the end of Kishkindha Kanda. And we stopped at a point where Hanuman was about to jump the ocean. So we are very, very fortunate today that we will be starting the most beautiful, the most glorious part of the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the Sundara Kanda. So before we start, I'll say the prayers and then we can continue. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirinyat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanath Swami Nityanamane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshtarini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. These are the dhyana prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman and Lord Sri Ramachandra. Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmikir Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharina Shrinvan Ramakathanatham Konayate Paramgatim Vedavede Parepunsi Jati Dasharathatmaje Veda Prachetasadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Viram Jalaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vandelanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Marutatulya Vegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarinudamukhyam Sri Ramadutam Shirasanamami Anjaneya Madipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarumula Vachinam Bhavayami Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanchalim Pashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Sri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apraneyam Sitapatim Raghukulanmaya Ratna Divam Ajanubahum Aravinda Dayala Daksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami. So as I mentioned, we are very, very fortunate to be starting the most auspicious portion of the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the Sundara Kanda. Sundare, Sundare Rama, Sundare, Sundari Kata, Sundare, Sundari Sita, Sundare, Sundarim Vanam, Sundare, Sundaram Kavyam, Sundare, Sundara Kapihi, Sundare, Sundaram Mantram, Sundare, Kimna Sundaram. This beautiful Sundara Kanda, this beautiful section of the Valmiki Ramayana, we see the beautiful, the most beautiful, who is Rama. Beautiful is the story, beautiful is Sita Devi, beautiful is the Ashokavana, beautiful is the poem, beautiful is the beautiful, beautiful Kapi Hanuman, beautiful is the mantra. What is not beautiful about the section Sundara Kanda? Actually, one may ask a question. Why is this section named as Sundara Kanda? So, logically, shouldn't it be named as Lanka Kanda? Because when we saw the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Ramachandra and his youth pastimes, we call that section as Bala Kanda. Then, when the major events, life-changing events happened in Ayodhya, we called it as Ayodhya Kanda. Then, when Lord Sri Ramachandra, Sita Devi and Lakshmana were in the forest, Aranya, because Aranya means forest, we called it as Aranya Kanda. And during their time in Kishkindha, we called it Kishkindha Kanda. And later, when this war happened, we call it Yuddha Kanda. But why is this section alone called as the Sundara Kanda? Doesn't make any sense. The most logical reason that we could think of, the most logical name that we could think of would be Lanka Kanda, because the events that happened in Sri Lanka, we can call it as Lanka Kanda. But why Sundara Kanda? In fact, you see, during the Sundara Kanda, in this entire book, we see that Sita was separated from Lord Ram in this section. They were totally separate. So when Ram and Sita were together, be it either during the Balakanda or be it during the Aranyakanda, in these sections, for some reason, we never called it beautiful. We never called it Sundara. But this part of the story, when they are totally in two different lands, Lord Ramachandra is in India and Sita is in Lanka. They are in two separated lands. At that time, we are calling it beautiful. So again, that sounds very strange. So what is the actual reason why this is called as Sundara Kanda? Again, one may say, oh, Sri Lanka is so beautiful. It is Sundara Lanka, because when you read the first few chapters of this Kanda, not only the first few chapters, but throughout this Kanda, the beauty of Lanka is described in so much detail. Lanka seems to be the best place on earth. It looks like that. So beautiful, so gorgeous. And Ashokavan is supposed to be so beautiful. So maybe because of that, it is Sundara Lanka Kanda and Valmiki decided to call it Sundara Kanda. Is that a reason? No, that is also not the reason. Why? Because Hanuman set it to fire, right? So when Lanka was burned down, how can it anymore be called a Sundara Kanda? That is also not the reason. So our ancient commentators, our acharyas from different sampradayas, they have given the reason why this section is called a Sundara Kanda. Because in this section, the biggest hero of our section is Lord Hanuman. Hanuman, in his early childhood days, he was called as Sundara by his mother Anjana. Hence, this Kanda is dedicated to Hanuman because he is the hero of this section, and hence this Kanda is called as the most beautiful Sundara Kanda, the most beautiful monkey Sundara. We all saw in the previous class the meaning of Hanuman. Hanuman means broken chin, right? We saw that meaning. So a mother wouldn't love to call her child broken chin, right? She would more wantingly, lovingly call him as the beautiful one. So Anjana would always call him Sundara. That is one of the names of Hanuman, and hence the section is called a Sundara Kanda. So this whole section is about the glorious Hanuman and the lessons we can learn from this great hero. The perfection of Dasi Bhakti was exhibited by Hanuman, and we will learn so many lessons from the activities of Hanuman in this Kanda. So, in the last class, we'll see where we stopped. In the last class, we saw the story of Hanuman, all his childhood pastimes and how he was born. We saw from different scriptures the birth of Hanuman, and we saw the importance of Hanuman in our previous class. Then, after we went through the entire thing, we saw how Jambavan was reminding Hanuman of his glories, and Hanuman was the chosen one to cross the ocean. So Hanuman made up his mind to cross the ocean, and he made all the Vanaras very, very happy, saying that he is the one who is going to cross the ocean. And he went on top of Mahendragiri Parvat, and he was about to take off. That is where we stopped. We stopped at that very crucial point where Hanuman was ready to jump across the ocean. So now we will see what happened after that. So this is the first few sections of Sundara Kanda, which is extremely beautiful. So Hanuman, he went on top of Mahendragiri Parvat, and he was ready to take off. So first, Hanuman turned towards the eastern direction. He paid obeisances to his father, Vayudev, and then he started increasing his body, like really, really big, so that he could take a leap, trying to cross the southern ocean. So chanting the holy names of Ram, and with a desire to cross the ocean, Hanuman started growing his body to a very, very huge size. So as he began to grow and grow and grow, he pressed down the mountain with his feet and his hands. He kept his arms on the rocks, and his feet was also down, pressing down the mountain. So he began pressing the mountain so hard that the trees on the mountain started shaking. And everything around was shaking, and all these trees which had bloomed so many flowers started letting go of their flowers, and Hanuman had a flower shower as he was growing. all the trees were showering flowers on him. And in fact, the entire mountain was like a mountain of flowers. Everything, all the flowers were falling down. And as Hanuman continued to press down his feet, all the rocks began to shake, and all the animals in Mahindragiri, they were all trembling. They didn't understand what was happening. All the snakes in the holes, they were all coming out and spitting out poison. And many, many sages and yogis and ascetics there in the mountain who were doing severe tapas and austerities, all of them were residing in that mountain. They all got very scared. They didn't know what was happening. And they flew away from their place thinking that some demons have come to destroy the mountain. Then Vidyadharas, who lived there, usually unseen by humans, Vidyadharas and Gandharvas, all of them, they were enjoying in this mountain with their various wives. And when they saw the shaking of this mountain, they were very scared. So they just left behind everything they had. They had interesting eatables and nice drinks and so many things, their jewels, everything. They just left it there and they flew up into the sky. So when all these sages, the rishis, the yogis, and these Gandharvas, all of them, they flew up to the sky, they realized that it was not any harm, it was not a demon, but actually it was the son of Vayu, Hanuman, who had grown in size, and he was ready to cross the ocean. So they understood what was happening, and with their jnana, with their knowledge, they could understand that this is Hanuman, and he is going in search of Sita to help Lord Sri Ramchandra. So with smiling faces, they all blessed Hanuman and they wished him all success. So this Hanuman was looking like a mountain as he was growing. His hair was shaking and his body was quivering. He was roaring like a lion, and his huge tail that he had, it looked like a coiled serpent, his tail. He was jolting his tail up and down. He was jolting while he was rising. So he became really, really big. And then he started taking position. So he bent his shoulders and neck. He bent his ears. He kept his eyes upright. And just like how athletes take position for a race, he crouched his waist, contracted his feet, supported his arms on the mountain surface, and he was just about to take off. Okay? So just before he took off, Hanuman, very loudly he exclaimed, "I will go to the city of Lanka, which is ruled by this evil king Ravana. I will go just like an arrow that is released by Lord Ramachandra. I will go. I will go on the speed of wind. If I do not see the daughter of Janaka there, I will go with the same speed to the abode of the demigods. If I don't see Sita there in heaven, then I will get this Ravana, this king of the Rakshasas, tied up in chains, and I will successfully return after seeing Sita. Otherwise, I will go to Lanka and I will uproot this entire Lanka along with Ravana." So he made all these statements. Generally, you see, even in Mahabharata and so many scriptures, before a war, the hero will first begin to speak what he's going to accomplish. Then he will get into action. So like that, Hanuman, after raising his body into such a huge size and taking position like an athlete, to fly away, he made these heroic statements. And then, the most important part, he chanted the holy names of Ram. "Jai Shri Ram!" Hanuman screamed and he took position. "On your mark, get set, go." Hanuman flew. He just flew with great vigor, taking off like a rocket. So, while he was flying up like this with so much force, just imagine, you must have seen in video clippings how a rocket takes off. So when something flies away with so much great force, all the plants and the rocks and the branches that were around Hanuman, already everything was shaken up. Now all these, they flew up with him to a certain distance to send him off and then fell down. So just like how relatives will follow their loved ones before they embark on a long journey, or the host goes out with a guest for a few distance before he leaves the house, or just like soldiers who would march behind their chief, all these little branches and trees and roots and flowers, everything was moving. They were set to motion by the wind movement of Hanuman. And as they jumped up along with Hanuman, after a distance, they all fell down into that ocean. that was there below Mount Mahendra. So the entire ocean was decorated with beautiful, beautiful showers, and the ocean itself looked like the sky full of stars. So you can visualize and see how beautifully Valmiki has described the flight of Hanuman. So Hanuman also, once he took off in the sky, he looked like a cloud in the sky that is decorated by a lightning. Because when you see in the sky, if you see a cloud, sometimes there is a lightning that goes through the clouds. Just imagine that. So something like that Hanuman was looking, because his body was filled with all these flowers that were sticking to his hair on the body. So he was looking just like a cloud that was struck by lightning. Once he was in the sky, he spread out his arms very, very wide, and the shadow of Hanuman below the ocean looked like a huge boat going in the ocean. Because when you're flying on top, your shadow is cast in the ocean. So Hanuman's shadow was looking like an enormous boat that is going in the ocean. And Valmiki goes on to describe the length and breadth of his shadow. His shadow was almost 10 yojanas wide and 30 yojanas in length. So like this, this arrow set by Lord Ram, that is Hanuman, he was very determined on his mission. Just like how an arrow that is released by Lord Ram never fails, Hanuman, who was steadfast in his mission, was very, very determined, and he was very determined to just be successful, nothing other than success. So he was completely ready to get the mission accomplished. Now, while he was flying, Hanuman, he was dragging with him series of clouds and wind, and all the devas and gandharvas came there to the, on the sky to see what was happening, how Hanuman was going with great force. So all the devas and gandharvas, when they saw this beautiful act by Hanuman, they began showering flowers of him, on him, and everybody, all the demigods were singing his praise. They were all so happy to see Hanuman like this. So like this, he continued to fly with all the clouds being dragged. And while in Hanuman's mission, all the five elements of nature, Bhumi, Aponala, Vayu, Akasha, all of these five elements decided to help Hanuman in his mission. How is that? Hanuman himself is the son of Vayu, right? So the wind god was favoring him because he was flying in the speed of wind. And where was he flying? He was flying over the sky, Akash. And the lord of the waters, Varunadev, was serving him because he didn't, Hanuman himself was crossing over the ocean. So Vayudev was also favorable. Not only that, Agnidev was also favorable because Agnidev helped him burn Lanka after he went there. And the earth, goddess earth, she was also favorable because after all, Hanuman went to retrieve goddess earth daughter, who is Sita Devi. I'm just getting some echoes, so I'm going to mute. Okay. So all these five elements were very, very favorable in Hanuman's mission. So all Bhumi, Apo, Nala, Vayu, Akash, everyone. Everyone was helping Hanuman in his mission. Now, seeing all the demigods and seeing this flight, all the demigods and rishis and the vidyadharas who were singing praises of Hanuman and blessing him, seeing all this, Varunadev, who is the lord of the waters, he went and spoke to a mountain by the name Mainaka. Now, this is a very beautiful mountain that is kept hidden within the ocean, in the middle of the southern ocean. So Varunadev went and told this mountains, "Oh, mountain Mainaka, you've been here, you've been sitting here because Devendra has asked you to sit here as an obstacle covering Patala, that is below the ocean, there is an entry to Patala. So in fear of the asuras from coming up into the earth, you're sitting here blocking Patala. And you have the capability to grow wide. You have the capability to grow in length up or down. So for this reason, I encourage you to rise up." Hanuman is actually doing a great favor to the Ikshvaku dynasty, and he is on a mission to help Ram. So you rise up, just rise up from the water, and let this Hanuman rest on you and take some rest so that he will go with more energy to complete this mission. So let him be our guest while he's flying over our waters. So he goes and tells this to Mainaka. So at that time, the mountain, taking instructions, started rising from the middle. It had a beautiful golden peak in the middle, and this Mainaka, listening to the words, got up quickly from the water, and with all its trees and creepers, it started growing and growing outside the water. So while Hanuman was flying through this path, suddenly he saw a big impediment rising up from the middle of the ocean. And he was thinking, what is this mountain doing in between? It's such an obstacle. And with all his force in his flight, he started pushing this mountain down. And as this mountain, Mainaka, was pushed down by Hanuman's force, Mainaka was very, very surprised. And he congratulated Hanuman with a lot of pleasure. He was so filled with love and wonder. And he was very, very happy to see what Hanuman was doing. So Mainaka, he didn't get offended or he didn't get angry. He was very happy to see Hanuman's force. So Mainaka took his human form and he went and stood on his own peak. And he started speaking to Hanuman. He called out to Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, oh wonderful Vanara, you're performing such an impossible task of flying over the ocean. So please come down. Come down and rest on my peaks and so that you feel a little energized. And not only that, this whole ocean was developed by Sagara Maharaj of the Ikshvaku dynasty. And you're helping Ramchandra, who's a descendant of this dynasty. So when a service is done to someone, a return service must be given. So this is our ancient tradition. So this ocean also wants to serve you, serve the Raghu dynasty. So by giving you respect, we feel that we would serve the entire Raghu dynasty. So Vanara, please stop for a while. Go after resting on me. I know I have so many fruits and roots on my peaks. You can eat them. You can drink some nice cool water. You can get refreshed. Then you continue to fly. And it's not just that Sagara is indebted to the Ikshvaku dynasty, but also there is some special relationship between you and me. You, Hanuman, you are the son of Vayu. By worshipping you, I understand that Vayu will also be worshipped. Earlier, during Krita Yuga, mountains had wings, and with speed equal to that of Garuda and Vayu, they went in all directions. And devas and living creatures and others, they were actually very scared because sometimes these mountains would fall down and they would destroy huge villages. So at that time, they went and asked Indra or Devendra to help them. And Indra performed 100 Ashwamedha rituals and he cut off the wings of these thousands of mountains with his Vajra weapon. So when this Devendra approached approached me, Mainaka, I went and took shelter of Vayudev, and Vayudev actually helped me. Vayudev told me that he will throw me into this ocean and my wings were saved. So ever since then, because of the mercy of Vayudev, I am situated here in the middle of the ocean and my wings are not cut off. And Devendra also later blessed me, saying that I will obstruct the path from Patala and be a protection to earth. So since then, I've been situated here. So I've been served and protected by your father. So I want to do a return service. I know you're the son of Vayu. So you please come, take a little rest. And I'm very indebted to you. Accept my love and worship. Like that, he calls out to Hanuman. So hearing all this, Hanuman was very happy and he was very pleased. He thanked Mainaka with all his heart and he told him, I accept your hospitality, but now I'm on a mission. So I have a very pressing duty to perform and I don't have so much time. I don't have time to take rest and accept your hospitality. I've given a promise to Lord Sri Ram and I cannot neglect my duty and rest here. So, iti yuktva panina shailam alapya haripungava jagama akasham avishya viravan prahasanniva. With a very grateful and respectful heart, Hanuman touched the mountain like as if accepting the hospitality of the mountain. Very respectfully, he placed his hand on the mountain, saying that, yes, I have accepted your hospitality, but I don't have time to sit here. Saying like that, with a smile, he flew up into the sky and he continued to fly in the speed of Garuda. Now, Hanuman, he did not want to waste a single second. So that's a very important lesson we learn here. Time is very precious. Even one moment lost cannot be got back. In fact, Chanakya Pandit, he writes this in the Niti Shastra. He talks about time. How 1 second lost cannot be brought back. So especially for Hanuman, time is very, very important, all the more important. Why? Because he is engaging this time in the service of the Lord. So engaging time in the service of the Lord is the best use of time. So he didn't want to waste a single second. He was the perfection of the mode of Dasyarasa, and he made sure that not a single second was wasted while he was serving Lord Ram. Even we see Srila Prabhupada and the Goswamis and the Acharyas of our Sampradaya, when we read their biographies, we understand that they hardly slept. They just slept for a few hours because they were so enthusiastic to serve. They didn't want to waste a single moment that could be used in the Lord's service. So as Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udhyan Asitam Chayan Asau Tasyate Tat Kshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Both by rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except for one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So that means the best use of time is discussing or glorifying the Lord, chanting the Lord's holy names, or doing service for the Lord. So here we see Hanuman was actually serving the Lord. He was making very good use of his time. So that time which was allotted for his service, he didn't want to waste a single second. Then, and that is a wonderful lesson we can learn from Hanuman. So anyway, so then Mainaka and Sagara, both of them, they were very, very happy. Varuna Dev and Mainaka, both of them were very happy with what Hanuman did. And they blessed him very profusely and they sent him off. They said, okay, we understand you're on a mission. You can now go. And even at that time, the demigods were also standing in the sky and they were singing the praise of Hanuman, right? So Devendra or Indra was very happy with the service that Mainaka did. So he came and he congratulated Mainaka and he said, Mainaka, you did a very good thing. I'm very proud of you. So everyone was very happy. Devendra was happy. Mainaka was happy. Varunadeva was happy. Everyone was happy. Then Hanuman, again, he rose up to the clear sky and he again started flying with the speed of Garuda. Then what happened was these Devas and these Gandharvas and Siddhas, all of these people who were standing in the sky and watching what Hanuman was doing, they had a thought in their mind. They felt that this Hanuman must be tested, okay, because they wanted to see his actual strength. So they went and approached Surasa, who's the mother of the Nagas. So they went and told Surasa, this son of Vayu, his name is Hanuman, and he's flying over the ocean. So Surasa, please do us a favor. You take up a horrible demoniac appearance horrible face that is scary, with huge tusks, red-brown eyes. Come and create an obstacle for him. We are just trying to find out about his strength and also his courage and intelligence. Let us see if he can win over you. So they went and requested Surasa to pose a test to Hanuman. So following their instructions, Surasa, she took up a very, very horrifying appearance and she rose up from the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, and she stopped Hanuman. She screamed at Hanuman. She said, oh, Vanara, the Devas, they have given you as food to me, so I am going to eat you now. I've opened my mouth, you now enter my mouth. So like that, Surasa screamed at Hanuman, asking him to enter her mouth, saying that you are going to be my food. So when Hanuman heard this, he actually put up a happy face, and with folded hands, he told Surasa, "I understand very well that the Devas want me to become your foot today, but I am on a mission. The son of Dasharath by the name Ram had come to the forest with Sita and Lakshman, and Ravana carried away Sita. So I am on a mission. I am on my way to find Sita. So once my task is complete, after everything is over, I will come and enter your mouth. So you wait there until then." When Surasa heard this, again she screamed out. She said, "Hey, Vanara, you cannot go without entering my mouth. And this boon had been given to me long time back by Brahma. So no one can cross my way without entering my mouth. This is a boon that Brahma has given me. So you better enter my mouth." So saying that, she immediately began to open her mouth wide, and she stood before Hanuman. Seeing Hanuman, who was 10 yojanas wide, Surasa made her mouth 20 yojanas. Then Hanuman got angry and he became 30 yojanas. Surasa made her mouth 40 yojanas. Then again Hanuman became 50. Surasa became 60. Like that, it went on. And Surasa made her mouth 70 yojanas, 80 yojanas, 100 yojanas as Hanuman was increasing his size again and again. So when Surasa had made her mouth really, really huge, at that time what Hanuman did was suddenly he contracted his body and he became the size of a thumb. And with great speed, very quickly, Hanuman entered Surasa's huge mouth and came out in a split second. And he came out and he stood in the sky and he told Surasa, "A daughter of Daksha, I already entered your mouth and my regards to you. And I have come out of your mouth already. I've entered and I've come out. So now let me go. Your wish has been fulfilled. And all the boons that Brahma has given you has also been satisfied. I already entered your mouth. You told me to enter your mouth. I entered your mouth and I've come out." So then Surasa began laughing and she said, "Actually, O Vanara, you're very, very intelligent. So now I bless you. You go according to your desire and I bless you that you achieve all success in your task. Bring back Sita for that Sri Ram." She said like that and she blessed him. And Hanuman continued to increase his body size back to the size that he had when he began the flight, and he continued flying. Now again here, there is something very interesting. Hanuman began to grow in size more and more and more as Surasa was increasing the size of her mouth, right? So then finally he understood that this is useless, because the more big I become, Surasa is opening her mouth more. So then Hanuman decided to become very, very, very small. So there is again a lesson here that we see that only when we humble ourselves, we can actually overcome obstacles. So Maya is like that Surasa. It is always testing us. But we cannot keep growing and inflating our ego. We cannot handle Maya like that. Resisting the power of Maya is like swimming across an ocean without a shore. When there is no shore, how much can you swim? You just have to keep swimming and swimming. So it's very difficult to handle Maya by inflating our ego. Anger, envy, greed, all of these is not very easy to overcome. But if we humble ourselves like Hanuman and take shelter of the Lord, then by the grace of the Lord, everything becomes easy. And by that Lord's grace, this huge ocean reduces to the size of a hoof print of a calf. So that's why the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the principle of Krishna consciousness, the underlying principle is Trinadapi Sunichena. To be more humble than a blade of grass and tolerant like a tree. That is the secret formula and success. So Hanuman exhibited that. First he grew in size again and again, and then suddenly contracted himself and he achieved success. So because of his intelligent surrender and the great humility that he exhibited, Hanuman was successful in this test. And actually, Hanuman was not at all afraid in doing this. Actually, humility gives strength. If someone is humble, it doesn't mean that they are weak. Humility empowers us with the grace of the Lord. So after this test was over, Hanuman began flying back in his path. Then, as he was flying, suddenly at one point, he couldn't move. He was stuck. He was just not able to move anymore. So he was very confused. He looked up, he looked down, he looked towards the sides, and he didn't understand what was happening to him. Actually, a demoness by the name Simhika, who had the power to assume any form she liked, she saw Hanuman flying, and she thought in her mind that finally I have a very good meal today. Something big is crossing me, a big animal is crossing me, I can eat him today. So thinking like that, the Simhika, she caught hold of the shadow and she pulled him down. So actually we have also seen this is a kind of a mystic power, pulling someone with the help of their shadow. It is called as Chayagraha. So she's called as a Chayagrahi because she was able to pull someone with their shadow. So this Simhika, who is a Chayagrahi, started pulling down Hanuman. So Hanuman, when he saw that this demoness, this horrible-faced demoness, is trying to pull him with the shadow, Hanuman thought to himself that actually she has a very strange appearance and she has a lot of strength and she's pulling me by my shadow. I've heard about someone called a Simhika from Sugriva in the past. I know this Simhika resides in the ocean and there's absolutely no doubt in this. This is that demoness Simhika. So thinking like that, Hanuman recognized her, and Hanuman again began to increase his size more and more. And seeing Hanuman growing to such a huge size, Simhika began opening her mouth. And just like what he did previously, Hanuman suddenly contracted himself to a small size. And he went inside the mouth of Simhika. He went inside. He tore all her inner organs. That is, he tore her heart, he tore her liver, stomach, intestines, everything. And praying to Lord Sri Ram with complete surrender, Hanuman executed this mission of tearing her body parts inside. He tore all her internal organs with the sharp nails and he came out. So when he came out of the mouth, this was done very, very quickly. Hanuman became small. He prayed to Lord Ram. He chanted the holy names of Ram. He went inside. He tore all her organs. And especially while coming out, he tore out her heart. And he came out. And she was fallen dead. So this Simhika, she represents egoistic tendencies of us finding faults in others. Sometimes we tend to find fault with everybody. Not only people who actually have faults, but even people who are great personalities who really don't have much faults. So that is our nature. We have this tendency to do fault finding. So fault finding is like grabbing the dark side of a shadow, right? The shadow is a dark thing. So trying to grab the dark side of someone, like how Simhika did, she grabbed onto the shadow. So similarly, fault finding is like holding on to the dark side of a person. And it is not good. So a doctor should dislike the disease. He should not dislike the person. And the doctor tries to cure the disease. So elevated souls are like that. They don't actually find faults with others. They only see the disease and they try to cure our disease. But we, with our inflated ego, we try to find fault with others just to show and prove to others, see, I'm so much better than you and you are so fallen. I'm so great. I did this, I did that, but what are you? You're useless. So that is a symptom of a bloated ego. And a devotee should avoid such qualities. So this is, again, something we learn from Hanuman's action. So Hanuman killed her and he flew up. And when Simhika was killed by Hanuman, all the creatures that were roaming in the sky told Hanuman, "You have killed such a huge creature. Whoever has four qualities of courage, vision, intellect, skill, all these four virtues, if it is seen in a person, that person will surely not fail in any task he has taken up." So this is again an observation that all these creatures in the sky, they all praise Hanuman for what he did. And they told Hanuman that you have these four qualities. You have the quality of courage, vision, intellect and skill. So you have all these four virtues in you. So definitely success is assured in you. Then Hanuman, he faced three obstacles we saw. First obstacle was Mainaka. The second obstacle was Surasa, and the third obstacle was Sinhika. So Hanuman faced three obstacles. The first obstacle was by Mainaka, and it was an obstacle that was due to love, right? Hanuman's obstacle by Mainaka was because of love. The second obstacle, the second hindrance by Surasa was sent by demigods. And the third obstacle was a real obstacle. It was a detrimental obstacle by Sinhika. Now, when we face many obstacles in our life. So some obstacles may be posed by a loved one. So how do we win over this? We win over this by showing love to them, just like how Hanuman did. He respected Mainaka and he showed love to him. Hence, Mainaka asked him to leave. So similarly, when we see that there are obstacles in our life because of a loved one, because they feel concerned, you know, they want to help us. But somehow in our mission, we feel it is an obstacle. So how to handle such situations? We should take inspiration from Hanuman and try to show back love to them. Then they will understand us and they will release us from that problem. Okay? So that is the first thing. The second obstacle was sent by demigods. Now, sometimes there are some obstacles that we face that is out of our control. So how do we solve this problem? We solve this problem by our intelligence that is given by the Lord. Of course, everywhere surrender to the Lord is the underlying principle, but we use the intelligence given by the Lord and we try to overcome this obstacle. So we should be very steadfast in the task that is in hand, and we should be committed to our service. And we should use our intelligence and come out of this. Now, the third obstacle that Hanuman faced was actually a detrimental obstacle, and it was a real obstacle. It was neither sent by demigods, nor was it an obstacle of love. It was a different obstacle that is very difficult to overcome. That is like, you just cannot do anything about this, that kind of an obstacle. So at that time, what do we do? What we need to do is we need to completely surrender to the Lord. Completely surrender to the Lord with all humility and with all faith, and the Supreme Lord will take care of this. So just like before entering Simhika's body, Hanuman completely surrendered to Lord Ram. He just chanted the names of Lord Ram and he went inside with taking a very small size with full speed. He went, he tore her organs and he came out like that. So we have to take complete shelter of the Lord, believe that the Lord will be with us, help us, and we have to execute what we have to do. We have to overcome the obstacle like that. So these are again some lessons that have been written by our previous acharyas that I was sharing. These have been taken from some lectures, all these realizations about the three obstacles and also about what lessons we can take from these three demons, how Hanuman handled these three demons. So Hanuman, after he overcame these three obstacles, he began to fly again and he continued his journey, and finally he completed his journey and he reached the other side of the shore. So he was about to land now. He looked in all directions before landing and he saw a series of trees, hemming the shore after his journey of 100 yojanas. And this island of Lanka was looking so beautiful. It had so many trees. It was looking like a jeweled island with so many flowers and colors and trees. Then Hanuman landed in Lanka, and as soon as he landed, he thought that he had to reduce his size because he was now so huge, right? When he took off, he took a very huge size. So he was thinking, it's high time I land now and I reduce my size, because he was scared that the Rakshasas who were living on this island would become very alerted seeing his size. So like that, Hanuman, thinking like that, he reduced the size of his body, just like how one who has reached self-realization reduces his size free from infatuations. So just like that, Hanuman, free from all infatuations, became small like a self-realized person once he reached the island. Then what happened? Hanuman, he went on, he saw a mountain as he crossed through this land. He saw a huge mountain by the name Lamba. This is in Lanka, Okay. I don't know the names of these places today, but these are the names given in Valmiki Ramayana. So Hanuman, he started traversing through these dense forests, and he saw a huge mountain by the name Lamba, and he climbed up that mountain. And from that mountain, he could see the actual city, the capital of Lanka. And this capital of Lanka, when he was seeing from a distance, it looked just like Amaravati, which is the capital of Indra. And this city of Lanka itself was situated on another mountain called as Mount Trikuta. And it was so beautiful. And Hanuman, he had crossed 100 yojanas in his flight. While he was flying, he covered 100 yojanas. But when he landed in Lanka and he climbed Mount Lamba, and he was visualizing this beautiful city of Lanka that is situated on Trikuta, he didn't have a tinge of tiredness. He didn't feel any tiredness. He was completely energetic. Why? Because out of his humility, he himself was thinking, why is it that I'm not feeling any tiredness? I've crossed such a huge ocean, but I don't feel any tiredness. So out of his humility, he was thinking that actually it is the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. And I was chanting his holy names, and his ring is in my hand. He's given me his ring. So that's why, in spite of such a great flight, I actually don't feel any tired. Actually, everything is possible only by the Lord's mercy. See, every minute, Hanuman's mood, every minute, anything he sees, whatever he does, for everything he's thinking in his mind, it is only because of the Lord's mercy that I'm here. It is only because of the Lord's mercy that I could cross the ocean. He never thought, see, I'm so great, I can do everything. No. For everything, he was thanking the Lord. He was thinking, he was looking at the ring in his finger, and he was thinking, everything is the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. So like that, in that mood, he was sitting on this mountain and he was gazing at Mount Trikuta. Then he got down from Mount Lamba. He began passing through all these forests with nice dark trees and beautiful lawns, various hills, rocks, villages, like that Hanuman was crossing. And finally, he neared the main city of Lanka that was ruled by Ravana. And this city really looked like the city of gods in heaven. It was decorated with beautiful freshwater lakes filled with lotuses and water lilies. And the whole city was so well protected. Especially since the time of Sita's abduction, Valmiki says that Lanka was even more protected. All these Rakshasas, they had horrifying faces and voices, and they were roaming around protecting the city. And not only were the Rakshasas protecting Lanka, the whole city of Lanka had a golden boundary full of golden walls, huge walls made of solid pure gold. Even now we have a leader saying that they're going to build walls as boundary for a country. But in that time, Ravana, he also built walls, but these walls were of solid gold. Imagine the opulence that Ravana had in those days. So all the entire city was nicely fortified, and inside that city, Hanuman could get a glimpse of what was happening inside the city. He could see that all these houses were actually multi-storied. Valmiki says that the height, they were almost 8 to 9 stories, each house. So multi-storied buildings is not a concept that we are seeing today in the modern world. It was there in ancient days also. And Lanka was especially known for its multi-storied building. And these multi-storied buildings, they were piercing through the clouds. All the streets in that city was pristine. It was very, very clean, decorated with the flags. And there were beautiful golden archways for every lane in that city. And every archway had beautiful sculptures of nice, beautiful vines and other animals, beautiful sculptures in them. And Hanuman, when he saw this beautiful city, he was like totally amazed. He was thinking, this beauty of the city is so unfathomable. Everything was so well arranged and perfectly designed. Actually, the city of Lanka was designed by Kubera in earlier times. Later, Ravana acquired it. But actual intellect behind designing the city was that of Kubera. So So we know that he had acquired Lanka from Kubera, right? So it was so beautiful. And it was so well protected. And these Rakshasas were so strong. Everything looked very favorable to Ravana. So when he saw all this, Hanuman actually started thinking in his mind, what are we Vanaras going to do here? It looks so well fortified. Everything looks in favor of Ravana. Ravana looks like no one is going to defeat this Ravana. How are we monkeys going to come here and win over this Lanka? All this doesn't look possible at all. So like that, as a, you know, like a monkey, he was having so many thoughts in his mind. When he saw all this, he became a little discouraged. We have to really fight over Lanka, but I'm not sure if we are going to win over these Rakshasas. We all look so powerful. What are we going to do here? So like that, Hanuman was sitting and thinking. And then he thought to himself, you know what? I should not be worrying about all this now. First, what is the first goal of my mission? I must first find Sita. That is the first thing I should do. Then I should worry about winning over Lanka. So now, let me think about first finding Sita. So, thinking like that, Hanuman, he was thinking, what should I do to find Sita now? Now, I cannot go in this appearance. I have a form now, a form of a Vanara now. I cannot go in this size. The Rakshasas will obviously find me, and they'll understand that I'm some kind of a spy coming from a different land. So I must devise some method to somehow cheat these Rakshasas if I have to search for Sita. So for that, I should take a very small form, he thought. So somehow or the other, I should find her, and my crossing of this ocean should not go waste. So I should take a small form and somehow or the other, cheat all of them, put them in illusion and enter the city and try to find Sita. So like this he thought to himself. And the second thing he was thinking is, not only should I be changing my form, the second thing I should do is that I should go in the night time. If I go in broad daylight, everybody will spot me. But if I go in night, I can secretively go in search for Sita. So what he did, he took the form of a very small form, the form of a monkey only, but it was very small that it equated with the size of a cat. He took a form that was small like a cat, and he was waiting for the sun to set. So two things in mind. First, he reduced the size to the size of a cat, and second thing, he waited for the sun to set. Now, Hanuman, after taking the size of a cat, He went close to the city, and he was peeping inside, seeing the city that was filled with mansions and golden pillars and diamond-studded windows. It was looking like the city of Gandharvas with huge buildings. He was looking at all this, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting to see if the sun was setting. So finally the sun set and the moon rose, and the moon looked like a beautiful, lovely conch shell in the sky. So when he was just about to take a few steps inside the city, he was stopped by the guardian of the city. So the guardian of the city, her name was Lanka or Lankini. We can use both names. See, in Sanskrit, the male form, like for example, Krishna, Krishnaha, that means male. Krishna means female. Sometimes Draupadi is also called as Krishna. So like that, the guardian city of Lanka in Valmiki Ramayana is given as Lanka, but also she's known as Lankini in many places. So for our class, let's keep the name as Lankini so that it's easier for us to relate. So this guardian of the city of Lanka was a demon, and her name was called as Lankini. So when she saw Hanuman entering like this, she stopped Hanuman and she asked, who are you? I've not seen you before. You look weird. Who are you? And where have you come from? What are you doing here? You cannot enter my city. I'm Lankini. I'm guarding the city. You cannot enter just like that without my permission. So she stopped Hanuman. And Hanuman, he looked at her horrible form and he was like, who are you? You look so strange. You have such gory eyes and you have such a funny face. Who are you and why are you stopping me? So she said, on the order of the king of Lanka, Ravana, I'm protecting this Lanka. And what are you doing here? So Hanuman, he raised his chest and with full confidence, he said, "Oh, me? I'm just visiting Lanka. I just want to see the beauty of Lanka. I'm a visitor and I just want to see how your city is. I just want to see the beautiful gardens, the parks, the forests, and the different houses here. I'm just here for sightseeing. You know, I'm not here to do anything else. I just came to look around the city because I find it so beautiful." But Lankini was not cheated. She screamed at him. She said, "You are a lowly monkey? How can you just enter like that into my city? I cannot give you permission to enter." Then Hanuman told her, "Just let me go in. I just want to see the beauty. I'm just a visitor, you know. I'll just do a little bit sightseeing and I'll come back very soon. And I'll go and tell people that your city is very beautiful." Lankini was getting more and more irritated with Hanuman. And she raised her palms and gave Hanuman a tight slap. She just slapped Hanuman because he was talking too much. Now, when Hanuman was slapped by Lankini, he became a little dizzy. And at the same time, he got very angry because someone slapped him. And she slapped him with her left palm. Okay, Lankini slapped Hanuman with her left palm. Hanuman got angry and he folded the fingers of his left hand and he gave her one tight slap. So probably this is the first time the concept of tit for tat, slap for slap started. So you slap me, I slap you. Hanuman did that. He gave her one tight slap. So when, as soon as he slapped her, and we know Hanuman is so powerful, even though he was the size of a cat, he was really, really powerful. So when he slapped her like that, she actually fainted. She just fell down with a thud and she fainted. And then Hanuman thought in his mind, "Oh my God, what did I do? I actually slapped a woman. I shouldn't be treating a woman like this." So Hanuman felt very sad for what he did and he started showing her kindness. So this Lankini, after being slapped by Hanuman, she regained consciousness. And when she was regaining her consciousness, she remembered something that had happened in the past. So Hanuman, she looked at, Lankini, she looked at Hanuman and she spoke with a very faltering tone because she was just remembering everything that had happened in the past. And she told Hanuman, "A lord of Vanaras, in the earlier times, I was told by Lord Brahma, once a monkey defeats you by his strength, at that time, your destruction will begin." So this was told by Brahma in the past. "The day I have been slapped by a monkey, from that day, Lanka will be destroyed. It will also be the end of Ravana. Today, I have been beaten up by you. And I understand that Ravana is going to be destroyed and Lanka will also be destroyed. And also Brahma told me I cannot do anything about it. So, Vanara, you have my permission. You can enter. I know the end is nearing and I cannot do anything about it. So now you may enter Lanka. Go and execute your task. Everything is over." So like this, Lankini finally gives him permission and he enters the main city of Lanka. Then, after defeating Lankini, Hanuman, finally, he enters the actual city of Lanka with his left foot. Interesting. He doesn't enter the city with his right foot. He enters the city with his left foot. So, when entering the city of enemies, if one wishes their destruction, one should always place the left foot first into the city. If you desire the well-being of a place, you enter with your right feet. In Vedic tradition, it's a common thing, right? When the daughter-in-law comes to the house, she's asked to enter in the right feet. That means she's desiring the prosperity of the house. But here, Hanuman is going to destroy his enemies. So he doesn't desire any prosperity for Lanka. He is in fact having ideas of burning down Lanka. So he enters with his left foot. So he enters this gorgeous city. The city is so beautiful. It has golden doors and gem-studded windows and houses of various shapes like lotuses and swastikas, and everything is multi-storied. There was beautiful music played in all the homes. And Hanuman spots all kinds of people. He sees Rakshasas, he sees normal people, he sees Brahmana Rakshasas chanting mantras, he sees beautiful ladies, Rakshasa ladies, Everything is very opulent. Everybody is so rich. Everyone is wearing so much wealth. And he walks and walks, and he walks to the interiors, and finally he spots the actual palace of Ravana, his personal palace with a huge golden doorway. And this particular palace of Ravana and his associates, it was on top of a mountain. And ponds with beautiful white lotuses were surrounding this entire palace. And it was also protected by another compound wall fully in gold. So Hanuman was watching this palace again and again. And while he was walking through these, you know, these different little homes and these paths and these gateways, everywhere, see, Hanuman, he had a goal in mind. He was looking for Sita Devi. So right from the time he landed in the island of Lanka, he was everywhere, continuously he was looking for Sita Devi. It was not that even for 1 minute he forgot that he was looking for Sita Devi. So every second, every minute, he was looking everywhere, but still he couldn't find her. So finally, he decided that he should somehow enter this main palace compound, which had so much opulence. So he sneaked in and he actually entered the palace and he started jumping from one chamber to the other. I will finish in a few minutes because I know it's time up. I'll finish after he enters the chamber, okay? In just a few more minutes. So he finally entered the main palace compound and he was jumping from one chamber to the other. Where are the places that he went? Valmiki goes on to describe. He says he went to the palace of Kumbhakarna, Vibhishana. From there, he left to the house of Mahodhara, Virupaksha, Vidyut Jihva, Prahasta. From there, he left to Mahaprashva's house, Shuka, Sharana, Indrajit, Jambumali, Sumali, Rasmiketu, Suryaketu, and Vajrakaya, and many, many more Rakshasas. So like this, Valmiki gives a big list of Rakshasa who were residing near Ravana's palace, but we don't really want a Rakshasa Sahasranama here, so I won't go through all the Rakshasa's names, but he just goes from one Rakshasa's palace to the other. Interestingly, there is one point that is not there in Valmiki Ramayana, but it is there in Tulsidas's Ramayana, which I've heard, is that when he was jumping from one palace to the other, apparently only one person's house looked very Vaishnava-like, and that was Vibhishana's. So apparently Vibhishana's palace was decorated with the conch and the chakra, Shankha chakra, and it had tulsi and all the marks of a Vaishnava. So that is an interesting detail that Tulsidas gives. And Hanuman was glorifying Vibhishana at that point, saying that this is the only Vaishnava in Lanka. Anyway, he jumps from one palace to the other, and finally he reaches the main palace of Ravana that was guarded by many army divisions and many Rakshasas who had very huge bodies, and they all had their weapons held upright. So I think we should stop here because I don't want to delay anyone. So from here, we will continue in our next class. So he is entering the main palace of Ravana, and this main palace looked like a beautiful cloud of many colors. So what happens there? We will see what happens inside the palace. Before that, we will see what happened before entering the palace. There was the Pushpaka Vimana. We will see some descriptions of Pushpaka Vimana also before we enter Ravana's palace. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any comments, corrections, anything you'd like to add, please go ahead. Thank you so much for your attention. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you, thank you. Sweet, sweet, of course, narration. It's just wonderful that no matter how many times we hear the Ramayana, how many times we hear Sundarakanda, it's such an enjoyment just listening to it again. I really, really loved all the lessons that you spoke about, that you said from we got from our Guru Vargas, all the lessons from Hanuman's leap towards Lanka. And I especially liked when you, the metaphor this of the twigs and everything going with Hanuman as he was making his journey abroad. I was just thinking about how, you know, they say in all the, in Goloka Dham and in Bhoma Goloka also, that all of the quote-unquote inanimate objects also have life. And so it just reminded me about how even the twigs and stuff all had life, had that animation that they wanted to send off Hanuman with a nice send-off.
Very true, very, very true, Mataji. Very sweet. Thank you for sharing that.
हरे कृष्णा हरि बोल जय हो गोपीनाथ की रामायण जय जय रामायण की माता जी फील दैट अवर ग्रैंडमा इज टेलिंग ऑल द स्टोरीज एंड वी रिमेम्बराइज ऑल दैट लीला आल्सो दैट मच पोटेंसी एंड स्पेशली व्हेन बाय टेलिंग स्टोरी यू आर गिवन अ डे टू डे लाइफ एग्जांपल दैट वाज द ऑब्स्टिकल्स कमिंग इन अवर लाइफ सो स्वीट माता जी दंडवत ऑल गॉड्स टू प्रभुपाद गुरुदेव
Thank you so much, Runda Gopika Mataji. You make everyone very happy. Thank you so much for being on the call.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, as all the devotees are saying. So much material here. And the most important thing, we learn the lessons. What lessons are there to learn? Normally we hear these as a story, but from the story so many lessons, so many important lessons, how the humility not makes us weak, but it gives us the strength. So thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing those lessons with us. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thanks to our Guru Vargas. Thank you so much.
Mataji, we are waiting when the next Wednesday came and when we are again came in this Leela.
Thank you so much, Randa Gopi Mataji. We always need your blessings. Thank you for giving us all the support every day. Thank you, Mataji.
Nalanda.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Sita Grasya. I just want to also say that it's so much nicer also hearing the story than actually seeing it, because it's just more, I don't know, it's, to me, it's just...
Mataji, you're breaking up. Are you there? Kaneshwari Mataji? I think Mataji got cut off or her signal is not good. Okay. Thank you all so much again. And thanks for your continued association. If everyone is okay, we can end the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo. Anyone wanted to say something? Okay. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you very much. Yeah, Vilasini Gopi ki jai. Wonderful association. Hare Bol.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.